What is the greatest commandment? Jesus answers that question by quoting the prayer known as the Shema. This prayer is spoken every day by observant Jews. It's part of their daily prayer. It's as central to Jewish prayer life as the Lord's Prayer is in our worship. There isn't a worship that I know of where we won't speak the Lord's Prayer at some point. The Shema is, it comes from chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, where it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is your God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, strength, and mind." And Jesus adds on to that another common prayer quoted from Leviticus. And he's not the first person to do this. This is not an unusual thing that Jesus has done. It's not an innovation, but it's very, very important. He says, "And the second law is like it," like the first one, "that you should love your neighbor as yourself." And that is, it is beautiful, and it is powerful, and it truly is the heart of what it means for us to follow Jesus. And yet, it is also very challenging. Jesus says that the second law is like the first. You could say, and the second law is just like it. It's just like that other one. And the reason that it's just like it is because loving our neighbor is how we love God, how we actually do it. We say that God is love. And how do we experience love but in relationship? We also say you can't say that you love God if you don't also love your neighbor. Loving our neighbor is how we encounter the holy. We believe as a statement of faith that we are created in the image of God, that all humanity is created in the image of God. And we trust that when we look at another person and see their humanity, that we are seeing the image of God. In fact, if you look at someone and you do not see the image of God, you are missing something important. You are missing what makes each of us truly human. And we do that all the time. History is full of grim examples of treating other people as less than human. There's the horrible example in some of our own lifetimes of the German declaration and propaganda saying that all Jews were less than human, and they rounded them up and they slaughtered them, they killed them by the millions, over 6 million Jews killed during the Holocaust. How could anyone do this? Well, they did it with a clear conscience because the people they were killing were less than human. It is that failure to recognize the humanity in another that allows us to commit atrocities. It's going on today. Even as we sit here and worship here this morning, there is genocide going on in Myanmar, where the Rohingya people are being driven from their country. They're a minority of Muslim people in a Buddhist nation, and right now their villages are being burned, their children are being killed, their husbands are being executed, and as many as 800,000 of them have been displaced and fled into neighboring countries. So this is going on today. And when you hear the stories, the actual eyewitness stories of what's happening in these villages as people are being driven out, what you hear is a story of people treating other people as less than human. A similar thing has been happening for the last couple of years as war has ravaged the North Africa and Syrian refugees have fled across the Mediterranean into Turkey and into Europe, into Eastern Europe, and looked for sanctuary. And some of them have been welcomed, but as the flood of an unprecedented flood of refugees pours into these countries, people have found excuses to see the Syrian refugees, the North Africans, as less than human. And their welcome is wearing out. You see this in political movements across the globe saying that it is the alien that is the problem. It is the immigrants that are creating the problems they're taking from us. They are less than human and do not deserve our privileges. Another example of treating others as less than human has been in the news the last 3 weeks. Harvey Weinstein has notoriously been revealed as a serial abuser of women. He has sexually assaulted and sexually harassed and sexually abused the women, actresses, and in other roles that have worked for him. And they've had no ability to fight back against this because of his power and his wealth. He controls so much in the entertainment business. If you speak against Harvey Weinstein, you might never work again. He has teams of lawyers whose job it is to silence women who he has abused so that they cannot speak out against him. Well, as we know, that has finally fallen apart, and enough high-profile people have said that this is not okay and that he has abused us, that he's been fired and publicly acknowledged for the monster that he has become. And then something really interesting happened. On Twitter, a storm of people, thousands and thousands of women coming forward and telling stories of how they were abused or harassed also. And each one of them puts a little hashtag, a little keyword is what a hashtag is, okay? It's a keyword in their message on Twitter that says, "Me too. Me too. Our daughters, our sisters, me too." So many, it's just shocking how many stories of abuse and harassment are coming out and showing up and being revealed in this time where we're no longer hiding the fact that women have been treated as less than human, and it is not okay. Now we come to this heritage, honestly. We have lived for thousands of years in patriarchal cultures, in patriarchal societies. And when we look at our own Bible, our Holy Scriptures, what we see is that they were written by and within the context of the patriarchy. And there's a shadow side to patriarchy, and that's what we're seeing right now. The shadow side is what happens when men who have the privilege of the patriarchy allow that to change the way they see women and to see them as less than human. Less than human. To not see the image of God in them. Now, the Holy Scriptures are beautiful. They are truly sacred. Yes, they came out of a patriarchal society, and they speak to the beauty of knowing and loving God and being in relationship with one another as we are in relationship with God. We don't want to lose the Holy Scriptures because they were written by a patriarchy. But we want to acknowledge that there is a shadow to patriarchal histories. There is a shadow. And one of the ways that we deal with that in the church is through a movement that began going in the 70s and then became really serious in the 80s, and it's called the Inclusive Language Movement. And what we have are people trying not to use male pronouns for God. Okay? Trying not to use patriarchal language to speak of the sacred and the holy, to speak of our relationship with God. And it's a challenge. It's really difficult to do. Our prayer book, the 1979 prayer book, was completed and published before this movement had really gotten going. And so when we pray the words of our prayer book, they do use those male pronouns. And one of the reasons why I prefer to use a bulletin rather than going to the prayer book during our worship is because it allows us to fix some of that. Not all of it, but some of it, right? And so when we begin our worship and say, I say, blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in the prayer book it says, and blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. We don't lose any of the holiness, any of our love for God by saying, and blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. It's an example of inclusive language. We can't eliminate the heritage of patriarchy, but with inclusive language, we can at least remind ourselves that that issue is there, that the shadow exists, and that we don't want to allow ourselves to slip into seeing women as in any way less than human. Our challenge is to see one another as fully human, so that fewer of our daughters and sons will be marred by the kinds of scandals that we see happening today. Brené Brown says something that I find inspiring. She's written several really wonderful books, and in the last one I read, she said, people are really hard to hate close up. One of the ways that we dehumanize people is we categorize them. We describe them as separate, as different, as other. And we don't get close enough to know them. Well, loving our neighbor is really difficult if we don't get close enough to know them. I know that it is difficult to take that literally and love our neighbors. I mean, my next door neighbor's son plays the drums. A lot. We've got an agreement that he won't play after 8:30 at night, thank God. That's a funny example, but there are other examples. I remember when I was a kid going into my friend's house and wondering, why did it smell so funny? It smelled, to me, really bad. Well, they were a different culture. They cooked different food, and so their house smelled like the food that their mother was cooking. To me, it was weird, but it was just different. Eventually, I had dinner with them and realized it's just different. It's not bad. It's hard to hate people close up. We have to get to know each other to actually be able to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And that is how we love God. And this is not just a liberal progressive thing that I'm saying. I'm not just being another one of those let's love each other Christians. This is scriptural. In Leviticus chapter, the same chapter of Leviticus where it says, chapter 19, where it says, you should love your neighbor as itself, as yourself. That's in verses 18 and 19. In verses 33 and 34, it says, you shall not oppress the alien who lives among you, but you shall love the alien living among you as you love yourself, because you were aliens in Egypt. This is basic faith that we're talking about. This is basic to knowing and loving God. Our mission is to, our vision is that on earth as in heaven, all are welcome, all are fed, and all are loved. And at times like this, when we really look into what it means to follow Jesus, what it means to love our neighbor as ourselves, we see how difficult that can be. We have a long way to go. But there are things that we can do to remind ourselves and to empower ourselves. It is perfectly fine for you, when you are reading a prayer, to change a male pronoun for God to say God instead, or to use language that doesn't imply that God is some specifically male creation or being, right? It's okay to do that. It's okay to remember that we are all male and female, created in the image of God. And so I'll just end by saying, let's do the work of getting to know the stranger. Let's do the work of getting to know our neighbors, of welcoming them, feeding them, and loving them, of giving of ourselves. Because when we move in and get close, not only is it harder to hate people, it's a lot easier to love them.